Every year, since 1915, a volume of the best American short stories has appeared on bookstore shelves. The anthology was the first ever to publish the fiction of Ernest Hemingway. Joyce Carol Oates holds the record for stories published, 16, since 1963. John Updike has had a story in every decade of the best American short stories since the 1950s. John Updike is the co-editor with Katrina Kennison of the new volume, The Best American Short Stories of the Century, 55 of them by such notable writers as Ring Lardner, Dorothy Parker, Richard Wright, E.B. White, Flannery O'Connor, Raymond Carver, and John Updike. Mr. Updike joins us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. Thank you so much for coming in.
Happy to be here.
The short story has been described as a quintessentially American literary genre. Why? Why American?
Maybe it's American impatience. I mean, let's assume that that's true. And I think it is true that American short stories have mattered more within the culture than, say, English short stories. But, yeah, you can make a quick take on it, a quick dose of data and be off. And maybe American experience breaks down into short stories more than, say, the experience of China or Germany. There's something, yeah, nervous about the country, and it fits with this nervous form.
Elaborate a little bit on the subjective criteria, though, that idea that you brought up about chronicling the American experience.
Well, to begin with, I excluded any short stories that, even though by an American, did not have an American character or did not take place on American soil. This would seem to exclude rather little, but in fact I got quite a few stories, good ones, about foreign countries and foreign characters, and I wanted this to be an American short story collection, so I eliminated perhaps 20 right there with that blow, and I wanted to do it in chronological order so we could feel the century evolving under us as we read, and of course only one story a person. And I thought no reason to exclude the great names, but to look for the best stories by these great names, such as Hemingway and Faulkner. William Saroyan, I was happy to include a story by him. There were a few surprises and a number of familiar names in the overall selection.
What would you consider to be a surprise? Or who, rather?
A little story by a woman called Grace Stone Coates, who I think was a professional story writer for what you might call slick magazines in the teens and 20s, but I never heard of her. Anyway, the story was quite charming. The second last story in the book is by a woman called Pam Durbin, who I had never heard of or read anything by her. And there's one story, a 1968 story called The Rotifer by Mary Ladd Gavel, who wasn't really a short story writer. This was her only published short story. She died fairly young, and she edited a magazine, and other magazine editors included this story as a memorial, but it's really a wonderful, it's a gem. I was looking for gems, shortish stories that maybe had a bit of a sparkle and perhaps a light touch, because an awful lot of the stories, at least in my reading of them, are pretty heavy, pretty grim. American life doesn't really emerge with a smile on its face from this selection.
I wonder if I could get you to read just a little bit of the Grace Stone Coates story. It's called Wild Plums, and you describe it in the book as a story that's exceedingly simple and unexpectedly benign, but not false for that, nor less American than the rest.
That is what I said, and I think that's true. It begins, it's very disarming. It's written in kind of an unusual, I wouldn't say faux naive, but it's certainly a rather direct and simple style. It begins, I knew about wild plums twice before I tasted any. The first time was when the Sunday school women were going plumbing. Father hunched his shoulders and laughed without making any sound. He said wild plums were small and inferior and told us of fruits he had eaten in Italy. Then it goes on, this child, obviously the parents consider going wild plumbing beneath them socially. The girl is dying to go. She somehow does go, brings back some plums. Her mother tells her to throw them away. Do I want to give away the ending of the story?
Maybe just down the last couple of paragraphs. I thought of myself standing like Clubby Slumps. The Slumps are the family that have invited her to go plumbing.
Right. No, that's nice. It's such a nice ending. It quite knocked me off my feet, although I think I was lying down when I read the piece. I thought of myself standing like Clubby Slump, mouth open without moving. I laughed till two plums rolled out of my apron. Oh, yes. I had them picked up almost before the dust stopped wriggling. I called, "Thank you." She's talking with her mother. Still, mother was not pleased. "Throw them away," she said. "Surely you would not care to eat something flung to you in the road." It was hard to speak. I moved close to her and whispered, "Can't I keep them?" Mother left the room. It seemed long before she came back. She put her arm around me and said, "Take them to the pump and wash them thoroughly. Eat them slowly and do not swallow the skins. You will not want many of them, for you will find them bitter and not fit to eat." I went out quietly, knowing I would never tell her that they were strange on my tongue as wild honey, holding the warmth of sand that sun had fingered and the mystery of water under leaning boughs, for I had eaten one at the road. In other words, the little girl has, in this innocent way, transgressed without her parents' blessing, and it's, in a way, the story of all of our transgressions that take place with our parents, half-knowing, forbidding, but not forbidding with a truly terrifying weight.
It really is forbidden fruit, then, isn't it?
Forbidden fruit. Yes, exactly.
How do you think the short story has changed over the decades?
The beginning ones tend to be pretty heavy. The moral is clear. The moral isn't so clear in the later stories. The kind of experience described is quite different. There is not much ethnic embarrassment in the early stories. America was still very much a melting pot, and people didn't feel shy about describing ethnic accents and ethnic manners. Now I think we are pretty shy of that. There was a sense in the older stories of Americans telling each other about each other. So the short stories had a quality of bringing news, whether they came from Florida or California. This was all like an article now, almost, in that it had a lot of travel content that I don't think we turn to short stories now for. On the other hand, we sort of do sometimes. But a feeling of news, a feeling of this being a kind of interim report upon the national mix.
Is there now a place where young writers can practice this particular art? I mean, the New Yorker magazine still publishes short stories. You will see some in Harper's, for example, even in some of the women's magazines. I mean, I'm not talking about maybe the quality of the story, but at least they are being published in magazines. Is there still a place where these young writers can practice?
There is still a place, but it seems to me to be a smaller place and a less well-paying place. I was able to support myself through the short story, and so was John Cheever and a number of other writers. I knew Kurt Vonnegut in the beginning of his, before he took off as a college hero, wrote a lot of short stories for magazines like Collier's, which is gone, for the Old Post, which is gone, Liberty, which is gone. So what is left, as you say, is the New Yorker, but even the New Yorker doesn't run as many as it did. It runs at max one an issue. Harper's and the Atlantic Monthly still run one, let's say, an issue. But this isn't very many, is it? And there are a lot of collegiate and scholarly and literary journals that will run short stories. But I think it's a little sad, yes, to see all these creative writing courses graduate people who then, whatever their talent, have nowhere much to go with it.
Do you think the form will be able to be sustained?
I think writers who used to perhaps would have turned to the short story now just try novels, or maybe they go into television and hope to write scripts. But there will undoubtedly, as far as I can see, be some short story publication. And the charm and the unique force, I think, of the best short stories will keep others in the game. It's quite a good form for young people, really, who can't organize their experience into the imaginative effort of a novel, but who certainly can write a good short story.
John Updike is the co-editor with Katrina Kennison of The Best American Short Stories of the Century. It's published by Houghton Mifflin. John Updike joined us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. Thank you so much.
Thank you.